1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I want to begin reading here in verse 23. The Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, begins by saying, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." This morning I want to talk to you about this, and that is, there is healing at the Lord's table. There is healing at the Lord's table. You know, for the Christian, healing and health is not an optional blessing. It is a new covenant right. As Christians, we have the privilege of living under a new covenant. We read Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 6. You don't have to turn. I'll read that for you. The writer said, "But now hath he," that is Christ, "obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises." The word covenant literally means a contract. And it is a binding agreement between two parties that cannot be broken. Hallelujah. And so healing and health is a major part of this new covenant. God has established a binding agreement between himself and between you through Jesus Christ that cannot be broken. And God cannot and will not change his mind concerning health and healing for the Christian today. Now, health and healing is just as much a part of the redemptive work of Christ as the remission of sins or the forgiveness of sins. I want you to notice, if you'll turn with me in your Bibles to two openings in the book of Acts, beginning in Acts chapter 14, and then we'll go to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 14, we need to understand that when Jesus Christ redeemed us, that he redeemed us not only from sin. Not only is sin removed from us and we have been made new creatures in Christ Jesus, but Jesus also redeemed us from sickness and disease. Sickness and disease, removal of sickness and disease, and forgiveness of sin, remission of sin, go together. You do not separate them. There's no reason to separate them. Now, I know many times individuals have been raised to believe a certain way, and I know myself included, that I did not understand that sickness and disease was a part of the atonement, or that Jesus redeemed me from that. And so I had to renew my mind to the fact of what God's Word says concerning that. But notice here in Acts chapter 14 and verse 7, Paul is preaching the gospel at Lystra. And in verse 7, there they preached the gospel. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same, that is the crippled man, heard Paul speak. Now, what was Paul speaking? What was Paul preaching? He was preaching the gospel. And this crippled man heard Paul preach the gospel. And Paul, perceiving that this man had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and walked, and he was healed. Now, I want you to notice that obviously Paul must have preached or taught something about redemption from sickness and disease. We know the Bible says in Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by what? By hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So Paul perceived that this man had faith to be healed. For him to have faith to be healed, he would have to have knowledge about healing. Because faith is based on knowledge. Faith cannot be exercised where the will of God is not known. And the will of God is only known and revealed through his Word. And so obviously Paul must have preached or taught or said something about the gospel of healing, Otherwise, this gentleman would not have faith to be healed. Can you say amen? And so in the early church, when they preached the gospel, they not only preached remission of sin or forgiveness of sin, they also preached removal of sickness and disease. Now notice here in Acts, the 8th chapter. Turn back with me to the 8th chapter of Acts, and let's begin reading with verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached what? What did he preach? He preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed or listened and received or accepted those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. Now, in order for these miracles and these signs and wonders to take place, in order for paralyzed individuals to be healed and lame individuals to be healed, obviously Philip must have preached or taught something about health and healing, about deliverance from sickness and disease. He preached Christ unto them. He must have preached Christ is the healer. He must have preached Christ is the deliverer. He must have preached something about miracles, signs, and wonders about healing. Otherwise, there would be no miracles. There would be no signs and wonders. There would be no healings taking place. I want you to notice that the early church, when they preached the gospel, when they preached Christ, they did not separate removal of sin from removal of sickness and disease. They preached it together in one form. And I believe that's something that we need to do today. Now, notice in Matthew's gospel, the 9th chapter, Matthew chapter 9, beginning with verse 1. Matthew chapter 9, beginning with verse 1. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him, that is Jesus, a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now think about that for a moment. Here is an individual who is a paralytic. And of course, we know the story. His friends brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus saw this paralytic, obviously the first thing that would go, the first thought that would go through your mind is, this gentleman is coming for healing. Isn't that right? He's paralyzed. He can't walk. He's coming to receive a miracle from Jesus. But I want you to notice Jesus' response. He said, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, why would Jesus talk about this man's sins when the obvious need was healing? Let's go on reading. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think you evil in your hearts? Now, notice this, verse 5. For whether it is easier to say, in other words, we would say it this way, what's easier to say? Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk. Look at that. Look at that for a moment. Jesus is saying, what's easier? It makes no difference if I told the man, your sins are forgiven or you're healed. I could say the same thing. Either way, it doesn't make any difference because healing and forgiveness of sin come together. It's a part of Christ's redemptive work. You cannot separate them. It's impossible to separate them. Jesus said, what's easier? To say your sins are forgiven, or to say arise and walk, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. And he was healed. Now, so Jesus was illustrating that forgiveness of sin and healing for the physical body are synonymous. They're interchangeable. They go together. They cannot be separated. Now, once you understand that, then it is just as easy to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and healer as it is as your Lord and Savior. You know, we need to inform people when they get born again, the moment they get born again, that Jesus is not only your Lord and Savior and has redeemed you from sin, he's also your Lord and healer, and you need to accept him as your Lord and healer right now. You know, I didn't know that as a young boy growing up in church. I never heard one message in 19 years on the subject of healing. Not one message in 19 years of attending my church on the subject of healing. And I'm not being critical of the church I attended. I love the denomination that I came out of, they just didn't know. My pastor did not know. The seminary that he attended did not teach them. And so he didn't know. I didn't know, and you're only a product of what you know and understand. And so I found out later on that Jesus was not only my Savior from sin, but my healer. And when I found that out, it was several years later, I did the same thing. I'm not advising you to do this, but I just did this. I knelt down and I said, Jesus, I didn't know you were my healer. I didn't know. No one told me. And, you know, I should have read the Bible and the Holy Spirit could have enlightened me, but I did not. And so I did not know that. And so right now I accept you as my Lord and healer. I make you my Lord and my healer. And that was several years ago. I'm not going to tell you how many years, but several years ago. And you know what? He's been my healer from that point to this. Just as he is my Savior. Hallelujah. And so we should educate and inform people that when they get saved and born again, Jesus not only removes sin, he removes sickness and disease. He is the healer. Hallelujah. Now turn back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Because this ordinance is one of the most beautiful ordinances in illustrating the fact that Jesus not only removed sin, but he also removed sickness and disease. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I want to focus my thoughts here on verse 30 just for a moment. Notice here in verse 30, Paul said, for this cause, everyone say for this cause. We would say it this way today, for this reason, or this is the reason. This is the reason. This is the reason many are weak and many are sick and many among you sleep. This is the reason. Now, if you'll search the New Testament, and when I am talking about the New Testament, I'm speaking primarily about all of the epistles, the letters written to the church. If you'll search the New Testament, you will find that this is the only verse that gives a specific cause or reason for sickness in the church. This is the only verse found in the epistles, found in the New Testament, in the epistles, that gives a specific cause or reason. I know in James chapter 5 it talks about, if any is sick, let them call for the elders of the church and let them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. I know that. But this is the only cause that is listed, the only reason, and it's in connection with communion. It's in connection with the Lord's Supper. Now, let's back up and notice here in verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily or improperly, with the wrong manner, basically, eateth and drinketh judgment to himself. Now notice this statement, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, for this cause, for this cause. What cause, Paul? Not discerning the Lord's body. The Weymouth version says, this is why many among you are sickly and out of health, not discerning the Lord's body. Weymouth said, failing to estimate the body aright. The Living paraphrase says, not thinking about the body of Christ and what it means. Now, what does it mean to discern the Lord's body? It is twofold. There is a twofold meaning or application. Number one, it involves recognizing the significance of Christ's sacrifice. Recognizing that Christ's body was bruised and broken for physical health and healing, and that healing is a part of the redemptive work of Christ. That's what it means. Now, the second aspect of this is recognizing the spiritual body of Christ. Discerning or understanding that every born-again person is a member of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we are to recognize them as such and walk in love toward them. That is the twofold application of discerning or understanding the body of Christ. But I want to focus my comments on this first aspect, and that is understanding that healing is a part of the redemptive work of Christ. Now, Paul is saying here, notice, for he, in verse 29, that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Notice he did not say not discerning the Lord's blood. Do you notice that? I said, did you notice that? He said, not discerning the Lord's body. We focus on the blood, and we should focus on the blood. And we have in the past, and we do. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And Jesus shed his blood and entered into the heavenly holy of holies and placed his blood on the eternal mercy seat to redeem mankind so that we could be born again, so that we could be made the righteousness of God in Christ, so that we could become new creatures in Christ and stand before God as though we have never sinned. Hallelujah. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. But notice here, Paul is now emphasizing not only the blood, but the body. Notice he did not say not discerning or understanding the blood. Health and healing is not discerning or understanding the body. The body. The body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That his body was broken for us. Turn with me, if you would, to Exodus chapter 15. We're going to go back to the Old Testament for a moment. Exodus, the 15th chapter. Not discerning the Lord's body. Not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, many are sick and many are weak. For this cause, for this reason. For what reason, Paul? Not understanding what the body of Christ, his broken body, means to us today, and walking in the light of that. Notice here in Exodus chapter 15, God is revealing himself, his nature and his character to the children of Israel. And of course, he has delivered them from Egypt, which is a type of the world. He has brought them through the Red Sea, which is a type of our baptism into Christ. And now they were following him into the promised land. God is revealing himself to the children of Israel, his nature. And I want you to notice, God reveals his first covenant name to Israel after they pass through the Red Sea. That is a type of our new birth today, a type of our salvation today. Notice this. The first thing God wants them to know about himself, Exodus 15, 26. And God said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians. Now notice this last statement. For I am the Lord that what? I am the Lord that what? I am the Lord that what? I am the Lord, there's a good chance I might heal you. I am the Lord that what? I am the Lord that may heal you if every condition is right. I am the Lord that what? Healeth thee. I want you to notice this is the first covenant name that God reveals to Israel. I don't think it's by accident. This is the first thing that God wanted to reveal to Israel after they came through the Red Sea. The first aspect of his nature. I want you to know I'm a healer. I want to settle that question right now. I don't want anyone to cast any doubt in their mind that sickness and disease is from me. I want you to know immediately that I'm your healer. That's the first aspect of my nature and character that I'm going to reveal to you. Before anything else, I am the Lord that healeth you. I don't think that's by accident. Because I think probably most people, their physical needs are the most important issue in their life. Physical, financial. But God at this time was taking care of all of their physical needs. They had no needs. He supplied food. He supplied shelter. He supplied provision for them. And so he wanted them to know, above everything else, I am the Lord that healeth you. I'm your deliverer first, and second, I'm your healer. I'm your healer. Do we emphasize that today? Do we need to emphasize that today? Yes, we do. Has God changed his character and nature? I don't believe he has. Malachi 3:6 says, I'm the Lord thy God. I change not. James said, God does not even change enough to cast a shadow. He is the same Jesus Christ yesterday, today, and forever. The same God that revealed himself to Israel, his first covenant name, revealing, I am the Lord that healeth you, is the same thing he wants to reveal to you the moment you come out of darkness and are translated into the kingdom of light. God wants to know, he wants you to know, he wants to be your healer. Your healer. He said, I am the Lord. I am the Lord that healeth thee. So we can see that this is the first covenant name that God revealed after their deliverance. The first characteristic of God's nature that he wanted to reveal is that he is a healer. Now, I think it's interesting in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 24, you don't have to turn there because we were reading. The first element that Paul mentions in connection with the Lord's Supper is the element of the bread. In the same night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread and blessed it, break it, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body. I'm the Lord your healer." The first thing he mentioned in connection with the Lord's Supper was the bread, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as Christians, turn with me to Isaiah 53. As Christians living under this new covenant, health and healing belongs to you. It's not an option. It is a new covenant right. Healing is not something you have to try to convince God to give to you. There is nothing you can do to convince God to heal you because he already has. It's too late to try to talk him out of it. He already has. Here in the book of Isaiah chapter 53, and let's begin reading with verse 4. The prophet Isaiah by the Holy Spirit is speaking about Jesus and the work of Jesus, the redemptive atoning sacrifice of Jesus. And notice here, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." I am the Lord that healeth thee. With his stripes we are healed. Smith Goodspeed's version, I like this version, says, "Yet it was our sicknesses he hath borne, our pains he hath carried." Our sicknesses he hath borne, our pains he hath carried. Now let's turn to Matthew chapter 8. We have an inspired commentary. Matthew wrote this commentary concerning what Isaiah said. Matthew chapter 8, lest you misinterpret or misunderstand what Isaiah was saying, and many people have. They say, "Well, that just refers to spiritual healing, my brother." Well, lest you misunderstand, Matthew clarifies it for you. And so let's go to Matthew, because Matthew is in the Bible, if I'm not mistaken, and he is one that wrote one of these Gospels. Is that correct? It is in the New Testament. And let's find out what Matthew had to say about Isaiah. Matthew, because Matthew knew that someday some scholar would probably say something contrary to what the Bible really meant, so he decided he would preclude all that by writing this statement. And I'm glad he did. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 16. "And when the even was come, they brought unto him," that is Jesus, "many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and turned away everyone who was sick." Oh, I'm sorry. The print's getting a little fine here for me. I'm going to have to read that again. "When even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and said, 'Everyone who's sick, stand over here, and I'll see if it's my will or not to heal you.'" And he said, he cast out the spirits with a word and healed how many?
All.
How many?
All.
How many?
All.
Does that leave anybody out? All that were sick. Who is healing all that were sick? Jesus. Now, are you ready? Let's go on reading. Healed all that were sick. Verse 17. "That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet." Can you get any more clear than that? "Saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses." So was Isaiah talking about something spiritual? He was talking about something physical, because Jesus illustrated it by healing the sick and casting out devils. And Matthew said, "This is the fulfillment of what Isaiah prophesied in his book. That Jesus himself took your sickness and carried your pain. He healed them all to prove it." Acts 10:38 said how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all, 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 healing all who were oppressed of the devil. He is the healer of all, the healer of all who come to him and receive him as Lord and healer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. He is the healer, and the healer is here today. Hallelujah. He's here today to heal your body, to quicken your body. If you're not in need of healing, he'll quicken that body. You can walk in divine health the rest of your days because the healer lives in you. He said, I will dwell in them. I'll walk in them. I'll be their God. They'll be my people. Paul said, what know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? He's in you. Hallelujah. He is the healer, and the healer's in you. Someone said there's healing in the house. Yes, this house. This house. My body's the house. The house. Your body's the house of God. And God said, I'm the Lord that healeth you. So the God of healing lives in you. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 2:24. I don't know about you, but that excites me. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree that we... Here, 1 Peter, I'm quoting Isaiah. That's okay, it's good too. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin shall live in righteousness. Notice, by whose stripes you were. I know it's not good English, but if you were, you are, you is. Not going to be. You are now. Why? Because he is the God of the now. Now, faith is. He lives now and he lives in you. So healing belongs to you now. By whose stripes you were. Colossians 1:13. If that didn't excite you, this will. Colossians 1:13. Notice what Paul said to the church at Colossae. Colossians 1:13. Who? Well, let's go ahead and read verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. You have an inheritance. Notice what it is. Who hath? Who has? Past tense, delivered you from the power or the authority of darkness and translated you into the kingdom of his dear son. We could say this and be correct. Who hath delivered you from the authority of sickness and disease and translated you into the kingdom of health and healing. That's where we are. I live in the kingdom of health. I live in the kingdom of healing because the healer is the king. And I'm in his kingdom, so I live in the kingdom of health and healing, and that's what I will experience because I receive it, I believe it, I trust God's word. I know he is not a man that he should lie. He will not change, but his word is faithful. And he's in you. He's in you. The healer's in you. Hallelujah. Now, I said all of that to say to you, there's healing at the Lord's table. We need to understand that God instituted communion not for the world, but for the church. This is an ordinance for the church. Those of us in the kingdom of light, those of us in the kingdom of God, those of us who name Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, as our Lord and healer, as our Lord and deliverer. For the believer, it has been placed into the church for the church to take advantage of health and healing. Not a ritual, not something that we just go through the motions automatically and not think about what we are doing. This cup and this bread signifies what Jesus Christ did for us, and when we appropriate what they represent in faith, we can receive what they represent. As Christians, if we discern or properly estimate what this bread represent, not discerning the Lord's body, Paul said, we can receive healing if we need it. Or we can continue to walk in divine health as a result of our understanding of our new covenant rights. I want to close with a statement F.F. Bosworth made. F.F. Bosworth said, "The Lord's Supper is more than an ordinance, because we may partake of Christ while we are partaking of the emblems of His death and the resulting benefits. In Christ, there is both bodily and spiritual life. Surely, there is not a better time for availing ourselves of the privilege of having the life also of Jesus made manifest in our mortal flesh." We need to understand something, my brother and sister. When we partake of this communion, the Lord's Supper, we understand that we are merely substituting juice for the blood and a wafer for His broken body. But when we, by faith, understand what they represent, and by faith appropriate what they represent and receive what they represent, something spiritual can take place in our lives. If we need physical health and healing, we can receive health and healing at the Lord's table. He is the healer, and He's in the house today. He's in your house. He's in you. He's in your body. Hallelujah. And today we can receive. So as we approach the Lord's table, let us approach this table with awe and with respect, remembering that this is a spiritual experience that will not only strengthen our spirits, but bring health and healing to our bodies. Let us properly recognize with due respect what these elements represent. When you drink from the cup, remember that your sins have been removed. You have been made righteous. Your spirit is brand new. You have become a child of God. You have forgiveness of sins. You have remission of sins. You have a better covenant with a better promise. And when you eat the bread today, remember that Jesus' body was broken. Himself took your infirmities and bore your sicknesses. He took them away. He carried them away on Calvary. And by His stripes you are healed. There is no reason for you to bear it today. You can continue to experience health in your bodies, healing in your bodies, by observing this ordinance and by recognizing that Jesus Christ is not only your Lord and Savior, but your Lord and Healer. He is our Lord and Healer today. May you quicken that word to our spirits. May you illuminate our minds so that we can understand and grasp what you are saying to us, believe it, receive it, act upon it, and be recipients of it.